My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Here comes up the middle, and Teoscar Hernandez slams his bat down in jubilation. 3-2 Dodgers, and he's driven in them all.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Who was the Dodger beat writer that got on Spencer Bivens for striking out Otani earlier this year? Remember, he said Bivens is celebrating as if he just won the World Series because he struck out Shohei Otani. And we got on him because we're like, dude, like, I think, was it Bill Plunkett? Was that it? Look that up for me, Director of Sports. Let's see if it was Bill
not
Plunkett.
Bill Plachke.
No, definitely
Bill
was not Plachke. I think it was Plunkett, but I could be wrong.
Never heard of him.
Me neither. Is that a real person?
Yeah, no, it's a real person.
I know Jim Plunkett.
No, it's a real person. Yeah. But you remember what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Bill Plunkett of the Southern California News Group.
Thank you. Yeah, Bill Plunkett. So he got on...
SCNG?
He got on Bivens because he was like, and struck out Otani in a game in June. Histrionics. Carrying on out there. And of course, a lot of us fired back. You know, I'm like, is it cool that the Dodgers shake that ass after every hit?
Watch yourself.
Sorry. I'm allowed to say that, right?
What's the next line in the song?
Yeah. Show me what you're working with.
Thank you.
Anyway, like...
You better be careful.
Is that cool?
And you saw Trotgate from over the weekend, right?
Yeah, Soto.
Yeah.
That was tremendous.
Well, it started with the with Diaz of Tampa Bay.
Siri.
Oh, sorry, Siri. Yeah. My fault.
Hey, Siri.
Yeah. Hey, Siri, do me a favor and get her on the bases.
Now my phone is freaking out.
38-second trot from Siri.
Yeah.
It's the OnePlus to Dibs having an Android. Doesn't have
exactly
to deal with that.
There's more than OnePlus, but yeah, I'll allow it.
No, there's 1,000 minuses. But anyway, right. So what about that? Was that okay? Teoscar Hernandez.
Oh, I love him.
Lost the damn mind last night when he got that hit.
He bat flipped a single.
Right, which, by the way, I didn't think he should have bat flipped it because I was sitting there on the couch going, I already know you're going to get a hit here. It's the most obvious, it's the biggest no-brainer in the history of mankind.
Wesley Hoagland.
Of course he's going to get a hit.
I knew he was good for the first four or five pitches of that at bat.
I knew he was going to get a hit. The Giants made a stupid mistake in the outfield. Runners at first and third, two outs. Let's go to New York for the review. Was he allowed to slide that way? Oh, he contacted the infielder. I'm not sure. Let's look. Nope, Bob, we're okay. All's good here. I went, okay, 3-2 Dodgers or 5-2, one or the other. But there's no question they're scoring here and winning this game right now. Because that's the way it's gone. That's Giants baseball. You make one mistake, you do it late, you do it at the wrong time, you pay. That's been, I don't know how many times this year. So you tell me, Dan Dibley, am I letting my very rare emotion to bubble over here? For me, last night was the night, and I can't believe that I arrived here with all that has gone into this season with Giants baseball, with the $200+ million payroll, all of the offseason spending, the big name arrivals from Blake Snell, Chapman, Soler, and beyond, even Jung-Hoo Lee, like all of the activity that the Giants put into this season. We have not yet arrived at August. We have not even yet arrived at July 25th. And I'm about to use the same word that A's fans have been using for the last year and a half.
I'm out.
You got to sell.
Oh, you got to sell. Yeah.
You got to sell.
Well, the passion that you showed on our show thread, on the Vine, as Guru would call it, last night, it caught me a little bit off guard because you were angry. I'm angry, Jeff.
Yeah.
And that wasn't awesome.
It was not awesome.
No, and it's sad because there still is a lot of baseball left to be played, and the math is such that you could go on a run, and I could pitch all of the rest of the mathematical nonsense that is still possible, and you get your rotation guys back, and this and that, yada, 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 we can play that game and all the rest of it, and it still is possible, but a more likely scenario is this team continues to take two steps forward, three steps back, three steps forward, four steps back, and they continue to kind of muddle in the muck around 500. So what do you do? Do you really sell? And if you do sell, if you're going to sell, you got to really sell, and you got to sell big. And if you sell big, in my opinion...
Talk to me about that. What do you mean?
Like Blake Snell.
That's fine.
Gone.
Yeah.
Matt Chapman.
Yeah.
Sell him.
Absolutely.
Camilo Duvall.
Sure. Sell. Sure.
So
Don't say Logan Webb.
No. That's
no. I hear that from a lot of people. Like,
you
got to understand
Logan Webb.
You got to understand what sell means. Sell does not mean I'm so mad. Let's just throw everything off the wall.
Sell means you take players who have a lot of value now, who don't have a lot of future value, and
correct,
you see what you can get for them. But I do think if you are going to be in that sell mode, then Farhan Zaidi might as well go the Biden route. And he might as well announce that he's not going to seek an additional term.
That's the rub here. And I will stand behind two points at the same time. That A, they should sell, and B, they won't. They won't. Right?
They won't.
Exactly. Director of Sports Lucas Alexander goes, you won't. And he's right. They won't. They won't. Because it doesn't serve their current interests. And I know
his current interest.
Well, yesterday I said you got to go 6-2 the rest of the week. Now, technically, it's not off the table. You could win 6 of the next 7. They won't, but they could. They're allowed to.
They're allowed to.
It's within the rules.
Yes.
They're allowed to score more runs than the other team in all 7 of the remaining games this week. But they won't. They won't. And in fact, on paper, the hardest one of them all is the next one. It's tonight. You're playing the Dodgers again, and you're doing it with a starting pitcher who looks like he's gassed. So, good luck out there. It doesn't look great. And if you lose that one, now 6-2 becomes real hard. Because then it just needs to become 6-0. And even that, at the end of it, I'm like, I don't know. What does that actually do? Let's say the Giants miraculously were back at 500 by the end of the week. I know that the Giants would use that as ammo to say, obviously we're not going to sell. We're making a move. And yeah, the wild card is not gone. It's not gone. But you look at the whole group right now, the whole picture, everything, the presentation. And it just doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. And I am a firm believer that a baseball team needs to send a message to its front office before the front office sends the message back. And that is, you got to tell them, hey, we're good. We're good. Please go help us. And then the front office, it's on them to send the message back and go, we believe in you. Good job. Here's some reinforcements. Go see if you can do something special. That's how it works. And the message has not been sent upstairs. They have not said at any point this year, hey, we're good. They've never looked good. They've never been over 500. They have never had an extended period of we're good. They went to Pittsburgh and New York for one road trip. Chappie went crazy. Doval lost a game, and then they reacted with what looked like their best baseball stretch of the year. It came after I screamed and yelled about the whole thing. And it was like, okay, we got action, but it was fleeting. And we did not have action. And I wonder if everybody did sort of like, did you watch on TV last night? Did you notice the Dodger Stadium does not look like the Oracle Southern Park, California yeah. version of what it looks like up here? There's no black and orange down there, even though tons of Bay Area people move down there, live down there. I used to be one of those people. I used to wear all the gear over to Dodger Stadium. I've done that. And no, obviously that's not going to happen right now. So all of those things are to be filed away. And so it does not mean crater the whole roster because you're mad. But the names you just brought up, and I don't know what the return would be. Snell's got a lot of money and he's only technically a rental. So, like, do you get a haul, like a big old bucket of prospects for Snell? No.
No,
but can you attach Doval to him, who you're not loving right now? Is Conforto a name? That's another free agent. Is that a big deal? Will you get a haul? No. But at this point, what the hell do you got to lose? You're putting left fielders out there now who can't hit a curveball and have no idea when the hell they're supposed to get out of the way of the center fielder. You have no problem doing that now. So keep doing it. Why not?
Yeah, and just watch this thing continue to flatline, and then you get nothing for these guys because Conforto's a free agent, right? And
Conforto is a free agent.
Snell's got the player option, and he could opt in for $32 million, but you may not actually want him to if this is the return you're going to get on $32 million, where last night is especially frustrating because when you look at the way that game went, that is about as well as you could play up until the botched fly ball and, Soler has a base running mistake. You didn't play a perfect game, but you pitched it. You lined up your bullpen. Everything was kind of aligned toward where you were in it. You had a chance to win it late, and then you didn't make the play late in the game, and you lost another ball game.
Don't forget what Montas did before he misplayed a fly ball, which was a first and third with one out at bat, which you could see from the moment he walked up. I'm like, he's striking out. He's striking out. He has zero idea what to do with a curveball right now.
Yeah.
And I feel for the kid. I'm not trying to come down Luis Matos' road. He's brand new. And maybe he will Elliot Ramos this whole thing next year. He's got some talent. But he is lost right now. He is lost. I know Guru thinks it's because of emotions from earlier in the year. I don't really buy that. Because even if it is that, then that's on him. Like, you can't emotionally fall apart like that because you got sent down one time, whether it was a good move or not. You can't do that. I mean, if Brandon Ayuk is going to show up to camp and play football this year, same thing. You got to figure out how to handle that and still go perform. But he's a kid, and he's still learning how to do it at the big league level. So I'm not coming down his road. But if you're going to put him out there right now, there's a fair point to just say, then put him out there. I can tell you how Luis Matos is not going to get better is having him play, like, portions of every game on some nights. Here, how about 7 at-bats this week? I mean, that's not helping.
Yeah.
That's not helping. So, yeah, I can't believe I feel this way. But
shocking.
What other option is there?
Well, you're 5 below 500 and you have a better run differential than two teams in the National League. You are 13th in the National League in runs for and runs against. And you're 5 below, You're fourth in your own division, and you are flagging in the wild card race. So, yeah, you've got a decision to make in 7 days. And the idea of them buying now seems almost comical and laughable. So the only thing that would be worse than flat out buying or a fire sale would be to do nothing.
Oh, get ready.
That would be the worst.
Get ready. I would absolutely predict that that's what they're going to do. You'll see marginal moves.
Right.
You'll see Conforto go for somebody who's 16 years old. You'll see that.
Well, they acquired a reliever already. You mentioned it over the weekend.
Yes.
Mike Bauman.
For cash considerations.
Sure.
So that they could send their young, sparkling rookie down to thank him for his 12 strikeouts at Coors Field.
It feels like yeah, I don't think you're wrong, but if they don't do anything, is that more of an indictment on Farhan and company as opposed to if they just flat out sell? Because if you sell bold pieces, big bold pieces, Conforto, Snell, Doval, Chapman, any of them, all of the above, that at least to me would signal that you realize that this wasn't working, it didn't work, and now we're going to try to restart this baby for 2025. Nobody like us.
I tell you why it's going to end up being incredibly quiet. I'm telling you right now why it's going to end up being incredibly quiet. And it proves a point I've been trying to make for a few weeks now, which is that Farhan is not safe. He is not safe. And if they do that, if they have a fire sale, if you see Blake Snell and Matt Chapman get traded, it is an admission of failure. And an admission of failure is going to put his job status squarely in the crosshairs. And he doesn't want to do that. However, on the flip side, buying would be absolutely maniacally crazy right now. So what are you going to get? A big box of nothing. You're going to get a marginal move here or there. They will probably trade Michael Conforto for somebody who can't buy beer because that's a very easy thing to do. It costs you nothing, and it saves you money, and it might help you dip below the luxury tax. And I get that that's probably where Greg Johnson's mind is right now. You're going to go out there and be 48 and 53. Well, then forget you. Give me my money back. All right, fine. We'll trade Michael Conforto for some kid named Spencer who's in Pawtucket right now. And there's your move. There's your move. And then outside of that, we're also going to dangle the idea of an 11-game win streak that could come at any moment. It could come at any moment, and we're going to take this National League wild card by storm, and we'll head into that wild card with a bevy of accomplished starting pitchers. You watch. It could happen. That is my prediction for this weekend.
Yeah, and I think that you would sell your fans on the reality of Robbie Ray and Alex Cobb. There's mm-hmm. your trade deadline acquisitions. You're getting sure. both of them back. So that really is the big move. And like you said, if you're able to trade Conforto for, you know, a guy who's ready in 2026, a 19-year-old who had a top prospect, Boston's number 7 prospect. He looked good down there in Pawtucket this year. It's tough to sell to your fans, but right now your fans aren't buying really any of this because it's become almost farcical the way you've been promised the young guys. Well, then they come up and they pop and they flash and, well, then they fizzle or they get sent out and then you're stuck with kind of the same old thing.
Yeah, and by the way, you can if you do send out a Conforto or something, you can pitch that in a way of like, I mean, they'd love for Matos to, I don't know, maybe get a couple hits. And then they could be like, yeah, we really wanted to clear away for Matos. We're excited about what we see there. Or maybe it'll be someone else. You know what I mean? Like Tyler Fitzgerald looks good at shortstop right now. But you might see the Giants, maybe Tyro Estrada will get traded. And then you're going to want, like, does Luciano come up and get to play some second base? And does Fitzgerald and Wisely end up playing a little bit of left field? And you do bring Luciano up because over the last 2 weeks, you want to know what Luciano's been doing? Homering like every other at-bat. And so you could see the Giants, well, we really wanted to get him back up here. We're dying to get him back up here. Translation, they wanted to get under the luxury tax. And there's no reason not to because the team's not going to go anywhere. And so that would be my prediction as to what happens. But if they were really, really genuinely playing the right cards for the organization right now, yeah, they would see exactly what Snell and Chapman could get you, especially if you did a pot sweetener with Duvall, with a bunch of team years of control and a young player. That would, like, I'd love to see, call someone with that. Oh, Snell, I don't know, he could opt out. All right, we'll put Duvall in. Now what?
You get 3 years of Duvall, no matter what. Team control.
What am I getting back? Can I get your hot shot number two or three prospect who's about to boogie?
Maybe a shortstop.
Maybe
somebody who could come up and play short next year in 2025.
Maybe a shortstop.
Well, if you look at next year, and I hate to already look at next year, but you do have a lot of pieces in place potentially that you would figure you can count on to be, you know, mainstays. You've got your center fielder coming back after he lost the year due to his shoulder.
Sure.
You got a catcher. You've got a good first baseman. I don't know if Wilmer will still be around, but late night Lamont is still solid. You have a couple of outfield pieces.
Yeah, Ramos will be a corner outfielder next
year.
You've
got three or four, maybe five really good starting pitchers. So you've got some building blocks, but you hate to be in July and already thinking about 2025.
Well, and Fitzgerald suddenly becomes a really interesting guy. Like, I mean, I don't know if everybody else is feeling this, but Ramos has got, he earned the runway now to, like, dude, you're in the lineup every day for the rest of the year. Let's see where that goes. Like, Fitzgerald's getting kind of close. This is an interesting player. Homered in four straight games.
Crazy.
I mean, and he runs the way he does. He's made some really interesting plays over at shortstop.
That amazing play last night.
I mean, maybe Tyler Fitzgerald is your shortstop.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, it's the closest thing to it that I've seen in 2 years.
Fantastic play to save the game temporarily. With that play behind second and then the glove shovel over to second and Wisely, and no chance to turn the two, but that saved the game for about a minute and a half.
If he can even be okay with the glove at shortstop, if you bring that kind of power to that position, I mean, if you do honestly have the ability to hit 20-plus home runs in the big leagues, and his bat looks like it has that in it, I mean, well, then that's your guy.
Yeah.
That's your guy. So that ends up becoming kind of the focus of the month of August, and I find that all to be just wildly disgusting.
Depressing.
I can't even believe we're here. I can't. So many of you are like, what'd you expect? Not this. Not this. If you would have told me, the Giants are a 500 squad, fine. Then I could believe 53 and 48. I cannot believe 48 and 53. I can't believe it. I don't understand what it is. You know, Grandy said something last night that maybe this is just the way all fans feel about their squad. But watching Teoscar Hernandez do what he's done this year, winning the home run derby and seemingly torturing the Giants and getting so many big hits for the Dodgers this year, a lot of people are like, the Hernandez-Jorge Soler market was very similar in the offseason, and the Giants picked the wrong one. And Grandy goes, no, it'd be, if Soler had gone to the Dodgers and Hernandez had gone to the Giants, Hernandez would be hitting 215 and Soler would be the home run derby champ. And I'm like, you're probably right.
Yeah, that's a terrible way to look at it.
But it's probably true.
Maybe part of that's the protection in the lineup that you get being a Dodger.
You're like
Hernandez Ohtani, is not leading off.
Betts.
Yes.
Freeman. Okay, Teoscar, go do something with it. Oh, my God. The bases are loaded every time I come to the plate.
And the Giants have Jorge Soler leading off because he wants to? Because he feels more comfortable there? Is that what we're doing? We're putting guys in the leadoff spot because they feel better, they're more comfortable doing that. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Your big bat in the order, and you're not going to have him hit in a power spot. And I know analytics have told us that it's more important to get somebody to bat as many times as possible, but he doesn't really produce at the top.
I said last night that I find this to be maybe the most frustrating San Francisco Giants team to watch that I can remember in a long, long time. And that's a layered thing as to why I feel that way. But I also think sometimes it's just organic. Like, I don't need to explain it. It just is. When I'm watching this team on television, I am more frustrated than I have been in years watching Giants baseball. And that is the message that needs to go all the way up to the top. And I'll reiterate what I said yesterday. This isn't just about the trade deadline this week. I think for a lot of us here in the Bay Area, this week determines whether or not I plan on spending any entertainment dollars at all on the Giants in August and September. My entertainment dollars for baseball in 2024, in the final 2 months of the season, are reserved for a pennant race. And if you're not in one, we got other things going on.
Only four games out of the third wild card.
That doesn't count.
Well, and they're only behind four teams, tied with another.
You're over 500 or you're out.
Yeah, 51 and 48 right now gets it done. So only four back. A win tonight, you could creep closer. A win, Mark, and losses by eight other teams, you gain ground.
Don't win tonight. Win all seven. Talk to me on Monday morning if they've won all seven. All of them. And then we can talk. Then you're over 500 and we can have an actual conversation. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, back to Niners camp with our buddy Larry Kruger next on Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Great pause right there.
Pause. I don't know who to be more mad at right now. Oh, good, he's calling in. Thank goodness. Lawrence Kruger. That's weird. I don't like that look at all. That's what's coming up on my call screen. Lawrence Kruger is calling.
Lawrence Kruger. Yep.
I'm over here like you're telling me the director of sports, Lucas Alexander, can't even book Lawrence Kruger, and then Lawrence Kruger doesn't have the decency to pick up the phone when director of sports Lucas Alexander calls? Is that what's happening right now? That's what was happening. But now Larry has called back in. A friendly reminder that all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's go out to him. His name is Lawrence Krueger. He's live. 49ers camp today. I have to give you credit, Larry. I thought that was a very, very adept question. When you said to John Lynch, hey, last year you promised that Bosa wouldn't be traded. Will you make the same promise with Brandon Ayuk? That's professional journalism right there, Larry.
Yep. You know, nobody says a pain in the ass like Larry Krueger at a press conference.
Well, actually, I think there's some other dudes in that room that the Niners think are a bigger pain in the rear than you. Yeah. I actually do.
That's probably true. It's a tough room to get the chief pain in the butt. But and he said there are no absolutes, which basically means that even though there is no deadline, and he was asked, do you guys have a deadline? He said, no, you know, my deadline to get us done was yesterday, you know, so he's trying to get it done as soon as possible. Even though there are no deadlines and they're not listing any deadlines, they have a deadline. And at some point, they're going to either get this done or they're going to pivot and they're going to trade Brandon Ayuk. And I just don't know what that is. That the 27th at the cutdown day when they're putting the roster together? Is that week two? Is that the trade deadline? I don't know. But there's no doubt that he, you know, last year it was like, we will not be trading Nick Bosa. This year, we won't go that far.
Right. So you don't think that it's possible that they do neither and just have him play on the fifth-year option?
Well, it's possible he'll play on the fifth-year option, yeah. There's a lot of results that could happen. They could play on the fifth-year option. He could play on the fifth-year option and then get franchise-tagged. He'd play on the fifth-year option, get franchise-tagged, and get traded. He could play on the fifth-year option, and they could agree to an extension in the midst of the year, which I kind of think is what's going to happen, to be honest. I mean, the question is tomorrow. Is he going to do the hold-in? Like, today I think we realized he's not going to do the hold-out. He showed up. He was there. Tomorrow, we're going to find out if he does the hold-in, which is, I'm here, I'm at meetings, I'm not incurring thousands of dollars of fines, but I'm not putting or risking my body until my contract extension gets done. That will be one interesting move. The Niners expect him to practice tomorrow. So that's going to be major news tomorrow, whether or not he practices. And and that will determine kind of where this thing goes, really. I mean, if he doesn't practice, then he's holding in. And obviously, they're trying to get that deal done. If he practices, then, you know, maybe that's a sign of good faith and they get it done quicker. I'm not sure exactly how to read the tea leaves on it, but I definitely think tomorrow is going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, Larry Krueger with us, Niners camp today. Larry, I'm intrigued by, I think, the same way Dibs was, that you just said that you could see this turning into a trade. To me, going into this year, there's no way in hell the Niners are trading Brandon Ayuk unless they are 100% sure that Ricky Pearsall is the real deal. And I don't know how you can know that until at least halfway through the year.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I'm not saying that. I mean, there's also Jacob Cowing, who I think is going to be significant. But yeah, you don't know what those guys are. I mean, in an ideal world, you don't make any major decisions on any of these guys until the end of the year. That's why I think the Niners are so open-minded to the fifth-year option. I mean, I'd much rather make this decision on Ayuk next year, even if it costs me a few dollars, because I've got certainty on what Debo is. I know what Purdy is more. I've got a better idea what Cowing is, Pearsall. If Cowing and Pearsall are the next Randy Moss and Jerry Rice, then you don't want Brandon Ayuk. But if those guys are both hurt and not very good, then you actually have to have Brandon Ayuk. So, I mean, it's the full gamut of potential options.
Which is why I think that they might kick the can further down the road. And how has this gone traditionally, Larry, with 49ers who are, quote-unquote, forced to play under the fifth-year option? Is there usually some trouble with that, some backlash?
You know, that's a good question. I've never heard of anybody having any real problem, but this has been such a public demand for the extension. And I think we're all kind of expecting the players, Brandon, the media, everybody's expecting an extension. And if one is not forthcoming, you know, I think that will be, you know, I mean, obviously that's going to, it'll be interesting. I expect Brandon Ayuk will be a pro. I mean, I have no indications, guys, from him that he would be anything but a total pro. And that means show up, ball out, play hard, and get his money down the road. But not everybody in the NFL has that ethic. I think he does. So I think that's the road he's going down. But the other guys, you know, he only has to play six games. That's the magic number for the year to accrue. So does he play six games, and if he doesn't get his money, hold out then? Or does he hold out until he gets his money? Or does he not show up until week 11? Because that's really when the year will accrue. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how Ayuk plays his hand of cards, if he has any cards to play, really.
Larry, what about some other stuff? I mean, it's been revealed that Dre Greenlaw is at minimum going to miss multiple games, which means I don't know what the Niners can realistically expect from him at all year long. Like, what are they going to do next to Fred Warner this year?
Devondre Campbell is going to be the replacement. I mean, Greenlaw tore the Achilles, and he did it in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was, you know, we think of football as being in the, in, you know, January, December. That was February 11th or whatever. He's not. If Greenlaw's back before Thanksgiving, I'd be shocked, totally shocked. I mean, that would be the fastest healing ever for a ruptured Achilles tendon. So I think it's Devondre Campbell. And I would say the other thing, keep an eye on Dee Winters and Jalen Graham. I mean, Fred Warner told us that he thought Winters was having the best offseason of any player. And I'll tell you right now, Graham is a player. And I saw what he did last year in the preseason. I'm really excited to see what those two guys have.
Do you think that the Niners are going to be better up front than they have been in the past with the additions of Floyd and Collins and a little bit more with Gross Matos and some other depth pieces?
You know, Dibs, Malik Collins is a big question. It's like, is it a lateral move from Armstead to Malik Collins? Is it a bad downgrade? Are you upgrading? I mean, he looks good in some of these, you know, Twitter videos. I've seen him, you know, working out, and his stop and start looks good. He looks like he's working hard. Is, you know, but I mean, that's not football. That's just running around in the off season. So I think that's a big one. How good's Jordan Elliott? How good's Malik Collins? How much do they miss Eric Armstead? How much do they miss Dre Greenlaw? Just as far as the big question is run D. You know, they didn't stop the run last year. There's a team went to the Super Bowl. They got gashed in the preseason in the run against the run, got gashed in the playoffs against the run, and still almost won the Super Bowl. And then lost Greenlaw, Armstead, and possibly Hufanga. Arguably their three best run defenders on all three levels of the D. So the run D, I think, is a major question coming into the year.
Larry Kruger, who is out at Niners camp opening up earlier today, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Larry, what was your sense of another big question that I know got asked of a lot of guys today, which is, how do you get back on the horse, man? Like, after what just happened last year, how do you get back to the starting blocks and not just get emotionally overwhelmed by that idea?
Well, and there were guys, you know, and we've heard it not just today. I mean, Jair Brown the other day said that, you know, it took him a long time, that he felt like his body was still not over the pounding that it took from the year. I mean, they played a long year. And they're, you know, you're playing these 20 game seasons. You know, you can, if you do this back to back to back to back like the Niners have done, that means there's guys that have played almost a whole extra season over the course of 4 or 5 years. So I mean, it starts to have an effect, an impact of all those extra football games. As far as the emotional part of it, you know, today we talked to Kittle. You know, Kittle and Bosa. I mean, Bosa is just this guy. This guy lives to train. I mean, I can't even tell you how ripped that he was. I mean, he's just ridiculous. Bosa is like in the best shape I've ever seen in my life. And then Kittle is just, you know, Kittle's just determined. You know, he's determined to get. He said he's equally determined as he was, you know, the time before to get back to the Super Bowl, and he looks determined. And you know, he's approaching 30, so that he's starting to hit the pinnacle of his career.
Brock Purdy gets his first real offseason and his first real camp as a starter, offset by now greater expectations for Purdy. How do you size him up coming into his first real camp healthy as a starter?
Well, he's 100% healthy and he's strong. You know, he's worked on his strength and he's worked on his flexibility and quickness. He feels like he's got a good plan. Just from talking, you know, talking to him a little bit during the last OTAs, it was pretty clear that he knew like intricate details about Jacob Cowing's like route running style. And I mean, it was clear from just a couple of answers that, you know, those guys have done a lot of reps on the field. I mean, Shanahan made the point today, Dibs. He said, you know, last year we had the film work and then we had no field work. This year you're getting the film work and the field work, but where it's really paying off is the rhythm and the connection to these young receivers. And like, you could really see it in that last practice before they broke 40 days ago. Purdy and Pearsall, and fans are going to see it in the preseason right away. And if you go to camp, you're going to see it. Purdy to Pearsall is a connection that is going to be something. Because, I mean, these, you can already tell Brock and him have repped it. A lot of timing routes. I mean, Purdy to Pearsall is going to be a hard thing to stop.
Well, fans are going to see it, but they're not going to see it this week. You know,
right.
Like how big of a deal is, because hamstring injuries for receivers, my gosh, that's not a great way to start here. And I know that that was revealed today that that's what Ricky's got. So what's the concern level there?
Well, I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, for some guys, they pull a hamstring and they're out 3 months. And other guys, you know, it nags them in the first week. They get over it. And suddenly they play a full season with like a full schedule. So it's like, oh, yeah, that guy had nagging hamstring in August. So it's really guy to guy. I mean, it's hard to say. I'll say this, though. I mean, we don't really, this guy's been in the blue jersey the entire OTAs. He's not, I mean, and one of the big questions I have is just, can he take a hit? And then after he takes a hit, can he still make those plays in the middle of the field? And he's not the biggest guy. So the fact that he's already kind of getting a little dinged up and missing time is not good, but it's also not a nightmare either. I mean, it's precautionary. It's early, I'm sure. And they're just, you know, they got a deep group of receivers. And why, you know, you get this guy blows out his hamstring and now it's half a season. So I'm sure they're just being extra careful early.
My favorite part of a July conversation with Larry Kruger is the randomness of the Kruger camp crush. Tell me who you got your eyes on, Larry, as camp gets started. Throw out a name that no one's heard of. Get ahead of the curve. It's Larry time.
I'm going to go with Tanner Mordecai, the quarterback. I kind of like the Tanner Mordecai, and I'll give you one other, Mason Plein, the converted basketball player. I mean, you know, some guys, I mean, the most players, you got to watch the film, right? You got to watch the film to see if they're any good. But if I just told you this Mason Plein, this guy's a basketball player who has like an above the rim, you know, Division II, but like at Division II, the guy looks like Aaron Gordon. You know, he's reverse jamming and he's, you know, double reverses. I mean, he's got an above the rim game. He's 6'8". He's got 10.5-inch hands and he's a mechanical engineering major. And his college coach did an interview with Guy Haberman and said he's one of the toughest players he's ever coached. I mean, just on that alone, you'd be very curious. This kid is guy to watch this summer, Mason Plein.
So good. I'll never forget our Segun Alube segment. God, that thing killed.
He's still in the league, man.
You're darn
don't
right
you,
he is.
Don't you? Segun Alube to you.
I mean,
still out there.
Larry.
Still out there.
Larry,
and if his family's out there, you know what? We're big fans.
Love
big
all, fans. All of them.
I know you ended up going off on Mason Plein, but you started the answer with Tanner Mordecai, and I'm on to you, dude.
Tanner Mordecai.
But I'm on to you. You can't just go to a Kyle Shanahan team and keep picking the newest little QB that no one's heard of, and then when he plays well, you're like, see, I told you. I mean, haven't we figured that out, that all the quarterbacks play well under Kyle Shanahan?
Well, there's no question, but you know, it's funny. I talked to Brian Griese, and guys, you know what? Brian Griese had a big hand in Brock Purdy, right? And Brian Griese has kind of a little bit of a eye for this. I mean, you can kind of tell. And we did the interview. This was a few weeks ago. And he said that Luke Fickell is his buddy, and that Fickell, the Wisconsin coach, told him of all the players that he had in this draft. And he had a bunch. I mean, he had Bortolini, he had Braylon Allen, others, that Mordecai was the guy that he would bang the table to, to NFL teams. So he believes in him. And he's got 4.46 speed, and he's pretty accurate, and he's pretty smart. I kind of like Tanner Mordecai. I guess it's also, I'm not a big fan of the other guys.
How the hell are we ever going to even know this to be true? Like, Brock Purdy's established now. We're never going to see this guy, so you're just going to be right because you can't be proven wrong.
Well, no, there's this thing called the preseason. You know, we can watch him lead. I bet you he will play well in the preseason.
All right, that's fine.
And if he plays, here's the thing that's going to be really interesting. If he plays really well after the Niners drafted Brock Purdy, that probably means he's not going to get through waivers. Because some other team's going to be smart enough to be like, oh, wait a second, these guys found Brock Purdy, and now this guy Mordecai looks good in the preseason, now we'll pick him up. So they may have to use a roster spot on him if he looks really good.
Do you think the Giants should sell?
Yeah, because, I mean, here's the thing. They have a team in Baltimore and a team in the Yankees that have some of really premier prospects. I would not be selling Snell and Chapman for nothing, but you've got a couple guys there. I mean, Blake Snell is going to have a huge second half, and I think everybody in baseball understands that. So he's really valuable. And then Chapman, the way he plays defense, you know, when you don't have a good defensive third baseman, you're like, man, Matt Chapman is out there. The Yankees would love to have Chapman, I'm sure. And they've got Jason Dominguez, and the Orioles have this kid Basalo in the Futures game who's awesome. The Giants have got to find some big-time, middle-of-the-order bat. Now, you can do it in free agency, but they haven't been able to do it. You can draft your own, but it takes a lot of time. You can make trades and trade away, you know, pitching or prospects. And this is the year to do that, I think. So there's Andrew Vaughn, there's Luis Robert, there's Polar Bear, there's Randy Arozarena, there's Jazz Chisholm. There's a bunch of guys that are out there. And this might be the year to, you know, maybe if you're not going to use Marco Luciano, maybe it's time to move off of Marco Luciano or Eldridge, one of these guys, and get a proven, you know. Otherwise, I don't know that Farhan, like if I'm Farhan, is Farhan going to be the GM when these guys finally come to the big leagues and realize their potentials? Probably not. So if I was him, I might want to speed it up a little bit and see if I could get somebody who could help you sooner. Because they're only three games out of the wild card. I mean, if they got into a hot 6 weeks, they could make the playoffs, and the guy could save his gig. But I think he's got to make the playoffs to keep his job. I really do.
Yeah, updating those standings. They're now four games out of the wild card after last night's wonderful experience.
Well, in that case, they're done. They need to sell.
Yeah, I'm with
Much
you.
Much better.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. That's the answer we're looking for. Hey, before you go, did you catch on the TK pod that Kyle Shanahan admitted that he offered Bill Belichick a job on the defensive side as an assistant this year, but Belichick said no?
No, I did not see that. Yes. That makes me feel so good because I put my neck out on the line.
I know, but I remember because I ripped you for your take, but your take was that it was going to happen, not that it was going to be offered, Larry.
Well, I mean, it goes to show, though, I do know the team that I cover. I knew the Niners would be interested. I knew they would go after him. Shanahan loves Belichick. And you know what? I mean, if you ask me, what's Bill Belichick want? If Bill Belichick actually wants to be a coach again of a good team, I think his better situation would have been the defensive czar on a Niner team that wins three rings in the next 5 years under Shanahan. And then as opposed to sitting in some studio, listening to some Bleacher Report donkey tell you his opinions, and you're like, yeah, that's a good call, Matt. You know, I don't know. I mean,
this entire conversation was worth it just for you to say Bleacher Report donkey.
Really good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that is. Okay.
I'll get salty on you.
I'm aware. Thank you, Lawrence. Do you like being called Lawrence?
Gentlemen, I do. You know, okay. It reminds me of my late mother. I'm now going to go say a prayer about her because she used to call me Lawrence. And I appreciate that you brought that up. And now I'm going to go have a moment.
Okay. Go have a moment. We will too. Thank you, sir.
See you guys. Good to talk to you.
Yep. Bye, we'll see you out there tomorrow. Yep. Lawrence Krueger.
Stop.
After being at Niners camp today, joining us with the latest. And I'm just going to call him out right now because I have to. He completely waffled on the Brandon Ayuk thing. He's like, he's either going to get an extension or he's going to be traded by the end of August. And then we're like, that doesn't make any sense. And he's like, yeah, that other stuff could happen too. I'm like, wait a minute. What are we really predicting here? I'll give you a firm one if you want. I'll give you a complete pause.
I will write, thank you, TJ.
I'll write this in ink. The Niners aren't trading Brandon Ayuk this year.
Well, yeah.
Why would they do that? I don't understand why everyone keeps bringing this up.
What about the other part of it? Will they sign him? And Larry said that they could sign him as the year goes on.
You could give him
his bag as the year is underway. I don't think that that's going to be the way this goes. I'll keep it as strong as I can and just say he's going to play the year on his fifth-year option.
They're not.
That's going to be the way that goes.
Please, 888-957-9570. Can someone answer that question? Why would the Niners trade Brandon Ayuk in August? What the hell would their reasoning be?
Well, they might trade him in September or October.
Why?
If Pearsall comes out and flashes and pops. I still don't think they would, but that would be the scenario.
You have got to be 100% sure that Ricky Pearsall's middle name is Puka. You have to be totally...
Cool name, Puka Pearsall? That's a good little name.
I'm in on Puka Pearsall.
Totally.
If he's Puka, we're good. If he's not, why on earth would you do that?
He ain't better than me.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service bank with no compromises. All right, if you missed what Lynch and Shanahan had to say about that, we'll talk it all out. Why would they trade Brandon Ayuk? Request be damned. All right, we can get into all of this coming up on Willard and Dibs.
Man, y'all don't know the game, man.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!